Let's turn to Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts 3. Going through the book of Acts. I foolishly thought we could go through the book of Acts before the holidays, but I don't think that's going to happen. But we're going to make an attempt. It's such a detailed account of the first church and some of the things that happened to that set the pace for us, even the effects of that being felt in 2016. Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts the third chapter, if you have your Bibles. Acts chapter 3. I think it's always up on the screen, but it's always good to look in your Bible in case you want to jot something down. If you can't write it in your Bible, get rid of it. Either that or write in somebody else's Bible. Write in your neighbor's. Some excitement has happened in Jerusalem. 3,000 have been added to the church immediately following Peter's message. And so Peter and John are getting away a little bit. They're doing something that was their habit to do, and that is to pray. And they're on their way to prayer, and we open in chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. May God bless to us the reading of his word this morning. So much, there's so much in these few verses. I hardly can give it any kind of rightful preaching this morning. I always like to put myself in the first person when reading these. Can you imagine going, minding your own business, going to prayer, and having this happen? Can you imagine? The Jewish day was divided into 12 equal parts. Of course, the ninth hour would be about 3 o'clock p.m. So they were 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were headed for prayer. This was the hour of evening prayer. The day ended at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. was their day. And Peter and John were about to have a life-changing incident. But so was the man. The scripture tells us that this man was lame from his mother's womb and never walked. But this was something, lest we forget, this was something that they were used to doing. Jesus had sent them out before him. In the scriptures, in Matthew 10:8, it says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons." And so Peter and John were just doing what they had been used to doing several years prior. For the last 2 or 3 years, they lived in the realm of miracles. Lest we forget, we think sometimes when we read this, gosh, this must have been the first time. No, it wasn't the first time. But it was a time that was recorded so that we could see that God uses common folk. Now, they had the title of apostle, but they were still just like you and I, just human beings that tapped into the divine power of God. Can you imagine seeing somebody who was lame from his mother's womb? We've talked about in the past, and you've thought about, this was at the Gate Beautiful. Christ had passed that way many times before. Other disciples, other apostles had passed that way on a daily basis, passing this lame man But this day was a day that he would never forget. Praise God. And this was a day that Peter and John would never forget as well, because it opened up the opportunity to preach the gospel. See, if miracles just gain fame and fortune, miracles are worthless. Miracles are to open up the hearts of people that they may be saved to give their hearts to the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, 3. As His divine power has given to us all things, say all things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, hath been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So two things we've been given: divine power with divine nature. The miraculous resides in each and every one in this room this morning. We've been partakers of the divine nature, and His divine power has given to us all things that we need. Divine, I looked it up, it means superhuman. We have been given the attributes of God to use and to see results because God said we could. So Peter and John are on their way to prayer, and they do what they normally would do, but they did it in a very public way. This was a very public person. Do you know miracles are never done in a back room? Or if they are, they should be announced. We have so many doubters in our generation. We have so many people that say, well, miracles don't happen anymore. God wore Himself out. He did miracles just for the first 100 years or the first couple centuries. And then God's tired and He's leaving the miracles alone. Miracles are always happening. We have several that have happened right here in this room. There are several people that have been touched and changed by God forever. We have children born as miracles since I've been here. Miracles happen all the time, and they should be done openly. This miracle, this kind of first miracle that was publicized, there was all kinds of miracles talked about in the book of Acts, but this thing was, it's done in the open, and people, it goes on to say in Scripture that they were amazed. So let's talk number one, divine steps. Peter and John were walking in obedience. Don't expect to be used of God if you're out of order. If you're doing what God told you to do and obeying what God told you to do, miracles will happen. God knows when He wants to use you and when He wants to wait. There's a certain expectation they may be, that we may be missing. We need to find it again. In the normal everyday occurrences, God wants to show up. Change lives. That's what He wants to do, is change lives. People say sometimes they're bored. I don't get that. It's an exciting time to be alive. I don't ever remember being bored since I got saved. I want to live in expectation. Say, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to be involved with? And every one of us can do that because God likes to invade our routine. Secondly, their hearts were set on seeking God. Every encounter should find us open to the leading of His Holy Spirit. Don't look at any interruption as an inconvenience. God, things happen at surprising intersections. God will cause some very neat things to happen. Secondly, divine encounter in verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. You know, the Scriptures say a certain man, his name was not important, his need was. We don't ever hear who this guy was. Everybody knew him, but he wasn't given a name. Because it wasn't about the name, it was about what happened to him. The circumstances surrounding this miracle were different because it was very public. He was not expecting anything but money, and he was there every day, and Peter and John went by nearly every day to prayer. So the expectation of both of them, two of them were going to prayer and one was, how much money am I going to make today? and God showed up. When God intervenes, it is His timing. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What all three did not know, they were seeking Him, nor Him them. That neither one was seeking anything from each other, but God orchestrated it. And I encourage you again, be ready for the divine to happen. That faucet didn't break or sugar run out or gas tank empty just because. Sometimes things happen so God can put us in the right place at the right time to speak to somebody that needs to hear what we have. You say, "Well, I don't know any lame people." Listen, that's not what it's all about. Some of the greatest miracles is sharing the gospel with somebody and their heart being open to the gospel. If you're planting or watering or leading somebody to Christ, that's a wonderful occurrence. That'll change the course of history for them and their whole family. And generations to follow if Jesus should tarry. That, my friend, is a miracle. So we ought to be ready. Remember, you are partaking of divine nature, which will work if you yield to the Lord and say, "God, use me." Roman numeral 3 was a divine response. Verse 4 says that He fixed His eyes on Him with John. Peter, fixing His eyes on Him, said, "Look at us." So He gave them His attention. Both men were hearing from the Spirit. Peter and John fixing their eyes on the man. This one accord thing works. John wasn't elbowing Peter saying, "Man, what are you doing? Let's go. We got to go to prayer." Both of them fixed their eyes. Both of them were listening and hearing from the Spirit. Expect unity and reject separation of any kind. God put us together. We shouldn't be struggling with each other. We should try to walk in the unity of the Spirit at all times. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Man, we need to work at unity. Because if we're not in unity, we're not hearing from God. If Peter and John would have been any kind of separate, this thing may have never occurred. They were completely in sync. And Paul, in writing the Corinthian church, he uses that word plead, which is used very little in the Scriptures. But it's a serious thing that we be in unity. Come on, someone. The enemy's all the time trying to divide us and conquer. All the time trying to put words in our mouth and imagine that somebody said this and didn't say that. Can we just suffice it to say that we're different? I mean, if I could have picked people to walk with, it may not have been you. If you could have picked people to walk with, it may not have been me. God put us together for a purpose. He placed us sovereignly where we're at. Amen? If God's not sovereign in placing us where we're at, I've lost all hope. I hope you feel that way. See, divisions are two visions. If you cannot agree with the vision, how can we obey the commands of the Lord that He's given us? Answer is, we cannot. This one accord in Acts chapter 2 carried over to Peter and John, walking and hearing from the Lord. Be insistent with me. Fight the urge to separate and to criticize. Man, there's enough critical spirit in the world. Especially nowadays, man. Everybody accusing everybody of everything. The lame man heard because he gave them his attention. Folks, whenever you speak the word of God, speak with authority and watch what happens. Peter didn't beat around the bush. He said, "Look at me." This wasn't Peter's first rodeo. He heard from the Spirit. This wasn't Peter's first try and attempt at, "Let me see how this thing works." But there had to be a first time that happened. Because the disciples were sent. Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Freely you've received, freely give." And if you've never experienced a miracle, there's going to be a time in your life, if you yield to the Spirit, the Lord will let you in on that. and at first time will completely change your perspective in everything. If you've never been around a miracle, you need to pray, God, show me a miracle. God, let me be a part of a miracle and watch what He does. Get excited about it, because God doesn't hold miracles just to the few. He says, no, you don't qualify. If you have His Holy Spirit, you qualify. Miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen all the time. And we need to get used to miracles. So Peter and John, this is not their first rodeo, but they knew what would happen. Peter was so confident of what happened, he reached out and grabbed the guy's hand. So there were divine results. Authority gets results. His full attention was given to them. He expected, maybe he had seen them before. Maybe he was responding to what he heard. Point is, he obeyed. He looked at them. Peter took care of the focus and then refocused him. Just as Jesus did at the well, Peter did. He spoke to the false expectation and offered a much larger offering. He said, I don't have any silver and gold. The guy's thinking, oh, what a waste of time. No silver, no gold. But what I do have. Oh, you got something. I'm all ears. I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, if we fail to see how very important this miracle is, this guy had never walked before. So it was anything that he could associate with. He heard about walking. He saw people walking. But his body had never partook in walking. It wasn't something that he could remember. It wasn't something his brain go back and go, oh yeah, I remember what that was like. You got to put one foot in front of the other. This guy had never walked. He was carried everywhere he went. He was set at the gate beautiful. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none down. And then what I do have, I give to you. And then he reached and pulled him up. Expect miracles to happen and God will show up. Do not forget that we have much more than words. If we talk about it all the time and nothing ever happens, we need to act on it. Several years ago, I heard the story of Larry Walters, a 33-year-old man who decided he wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective. He went down to the local Army surplus store one morning and bought 45 used weather balloons. Remember this? That afternoon, he strapped himself into a lawn chair to which several of his friends tied the now helium-filled balloons. He took along a six-pack of beer, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and a BB gun, figuring he could shoot the balloons one at a time when he was ready to land. Walters, who assumed the balloons would lift him about 100 feet in the air, was caught off guard when the chair soared more than 11,000 feet into the sky, smack into the middle of air traffic pattern at Los Angeles International Airport. Do you remember this story? Too frightened to shoot any of the balloons, he stayed airborne for more than 2 hours, forcing the airport to shut down its runways for much of the afternoon, causing long delays in flights across the country. Soon after he was safely grounded and fined by the police, reporters asked him three questions. Number one, were you scared? He said, yes. Would you do it again? He said, no. And they said, why did you do it? He said, because you can't just sit there. Make sure you... I could go there, but I'm not going to. Drink six beers in a lawn chair 11,000 feet with no bathroom. Think about that. Just saying. Make sure you hear from God. And then do it. And then do what He told you to do without fear of failure. Remember, success in the spirit realm doesn't look like success in the natural. Step out. God will fulfill His desire through you. His will and His desire through you. I would have loved to interview all three men after that. Healing happened. The problem presented itself and the solution eradicated the problem. Action followed command. Peter reached for the man. There is no hint of hesitation. hesitation, his doubt. He reached for the man. Assumptive faith moves before the result. Earthly faith waits on the result before moving. Assumptive faith moves before the result happens. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why a lot of miracles don't happen, is because we expect everything to be there. Everything's not going to be there sometimes. I remember taking an evangelist off to the side because I was with a team in India praying. And I prayed for a deaf and dumb person, and they didn't receive any healing. And there was healings going all over the place. So I felt really bad. And I went to him and I said, I didn't see any healing from this deaf and dumb person. I prayed for her. Prayed several times and it didn't happen. And I got greatly discouraged. So he prayed for me. Kind of got a smirk on his face. So the next night he came over. I was praying. He came over and grabbed me by the shoulder. He said, "Come here." So I followed him over and he dropped about a 9-10 year old boy in my arms that was deaf and dumb. And said, "Pray for him." I said, "Jim, I just told you that didn't work last night." He said, "Pray for him." And I prayed, and the child instantly heard and spoke. God's intention works through obedience. God's intention will work if we obey. The man's body responded to the command because they prayed. Listen, in verse 8 it says, "So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." As I said, what a miracle. The guy had never walked before, and now he's walking. Walking after he had never walked, leaping after he had never leapt, praising God after he had most likely never praised God. The results of a true miracle. Roman numeral 5, there was a divine reaction. Acts 3:10, they knew that it was he who said begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. If I'd have been there, I'd have run for the temple too. When people see miracles, they don't need to look at people, they need to look at God. First they'll look at us, that's okay. That's okay. But watch Peter's response in verse 12, or Peter, if you're from a different country. There was a divine message. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power of godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Wait a minute, Peter. Nobody asked you for your opinion. We just saw this guy healed, and now you're speaking to us like this? If there was any fame that Peter might have drawn to himself, he took care of that right away. He said, "Why are you looking intently at us? You're murderers." It's okay for people to begin to look at us, but we need to get their focus on Jesus. That's the whole issue that takes place at miracles, the miraculous. When God moves, it's for the intent of touching his soul. It's not for the intent of putting us in the spotlight. "And his name," verse 16, "through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Yielding to the Lord is so very important in these instances. And that's what squashes a move of God whenever we start to make heroes. Several years ago down in Lakeland, Florida, there was a great move of God. People were being healed. I had occasion to be at one of those meetings that were being held in stadiums. You remember that? Just about 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe a little bit longer, 5 years ago. Todd Bentley, I think, was the head guy there. And I won't even go there, but I was at that meeting. I was actually down in Florida for something else. And somebody told me about the meeting, and I went over and I watched a lady praising the Lord in a wheelchair. She came up to the platform. The platform was about 5 feet off the ground or so, and she came up to the platform and was praising God. Nobody around her at all, and you could tell she had been in a wheelchair a while. She had all of her stuff there, you could just tell. And during praise and worship, she just got up and walked out of her wheelchair and pushed it off. No grandiose thing, nobody cheering her on. She just got up, and we saw all kinds of healings there. But unfortunately, the attention was drawn to a person and a people, and it died. Because God won't share His glory with anyone. Promotion of man will stop the move of God. Continued promotion of man will bring forth another gospel message. Because when the crowds start to thin, you got to come up with something. Peter and John squelched that right at the beginning. Peter said, "Hey, you guys, why are you looking at us? This didn't happen because of us. This happened because of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, you knew and you murdered Him." Spotlights were created for actors, not Christians. So he called out their sin. He called out denial and murder. And right away there was conviction of heart. Those of them that weren't looking for an exit began to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Again, the miraculous happens so people can be convicted of their sin and turn and receive Jesus Christ. Focusing their attention to the source of the miraculous was Peter's intent. Faith in His name, he said. Doctrine, denomination, details will come later. He wasn't talking doctrine with them. He just said, have faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in His name has made this man walk. This faith produces results. And then he kind of lets him off the hook in verse 17. He says, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you.'" Verse 23, "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among his people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." Spoke right to it. Second message that Peter spoke publicly, and he spoke right to it. But what did God use? What was God's point in taking Peter and John and taking by the gate beautiful and having that happen? The point was there were souls to be reached. We need the miraculous in our day. Because our voice is among the voices of all kinds of religion, all kinds of people saying they're the ones. God says, you watch. So Peter said, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. By the way, we are living in the fulfillment of that prophecy. All the prophets spoke about Jesus. We should never talk about Jesus as He's part of history. Jesus is very alive today. Come on, turn to somebody and say, Jesus is alive. Thank God we read about His history, but He is not history, He's current. He's more current than you and I. He is right on top of things. He doesn't need to wait till the 6:30 news to find out what's happening. He's on top of things. He's very much alive. Do not defend and try to prove it. Just move in it. Just move in the knowledge that Jesus is all-powerful, all-knowing, and knows exactly what's going on. We go back to when James, Peter, and John were walking along, minding their own business, headed for prayer, and God says, I've got a God happening about ready to happen, and you two are going to be in the center of it. Moses testified. His words must be obeyed. Moses said utter destruction would result for those who rejected the word of the Lord. And that's what Peter brought to bear. That's what Peter brought to bear that day. And it set a precedent. It set some footsteps for you and I. Because the same God that called those men are the God that is the God that's calling us today. We absolutely have to believe that God is interested in saving this generation. He's not throwing it away. He's not going to do something else. He's called you and I to be witnesses. And He's given us great tools to do so. And if we go out without the tools, am I the only one that's ever tried to tighten a screw with a penny? Men? Or a dime? And you can get it tight, but you can't really get it that tight. And you wish, I wish I had some tools with me. God's given us a toolbox full of tools. He's given us the word of knowledge. He's given us the word of wisdom. He's given us healing. He's given us all kinds of things. Working of miracles. He's given us all those things. Not so that we could feel good about it, but when the time comes, the occurrence happens, we're there. Peter wasn't eloquent. Peter was a fisherman. Peter wasn't an educated man. He was just a man that had been with Jesus and failed several times. The man couldn't walk on water. Man couldn't keep his clothes on. Jumped naked into the lake and swam for shore. Man denied Christ three times. Come on, somebody. But he knew he had a toolbox full of stuff. He knew. First fixing his eyes on the guy. He fixed his eyes because the Holy Spirit was speaking to his heart. I want to touch this guy. Then grabbing the guy's hand. Reaching out for the guy's hand and pulling him up. And walking in. And then pompous Peter. And everybody started coming running towards him. He could have taken great advantage of that. Did you ever think of that? I mean, that's pretty popular stuff. Say, yeah, I'm here all week. Just, yeah, bring your friends. We have a meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. We're taking up an offering. Now he said, why are you looking intently at me? I didn't do anything. All I did was obey God. It was by faith in Jesus Christ. The man that you crucified. The man that you murdered. Jesus did it. By faith in His name, this man is whole and made walk. The man that you know, that you've seen every day, now the whole thing begins to come in focus. Now just a walk to prayer and a begging for alms becomes something that absolutely focuses thousands of people on the issue of Jesus Christ. It may seem small to you, the word that you give or the prayer that you pray, but it can affect literally thousands of people. May not end up having people running for your house or running for the temple, but just be obedient to God. You never know when the smallest thing. And I'm sure if we were to interview Peter and John, if we could have said, what were you thinking? What was it? Did God speak to you while you were showering that morning? Or did, you know, was there some? No, there was no telegraphing. There was nothing. We were just doing what we were called to do. We went for prayer and this happened and literally thousands of people received Christ. Repent. Peter said, you're murderers. You denied Christ. You murdered Him. I know you did it in ignorance. I'll let you off the hook, but you still killed Him. You need to repent. And then he preached against the sin, and the results were tremendous. The results were tremendous. What a challenge for you and I. What a challenge for you and I. We say, Lord, we're just little old fuzzballs from Rochester, Indiana. Who are we? God wants to use each and every one of us for His purpose and His plan. Whether we know it or not, He's building a kingdom. We may be with the issue of, you know, elections and monies and holidays and everything that fills our mind. But God is in the business of building kingdoms. You know, I don't know if they made the 3 o'clock prayer that day. They probably didn't. Prayer meeting was missing two people. Literally thousands of people were affected because of that one obedient act. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to Thee. Let's be open and yield to the purpose of the Lord. If you've not heard Him nudging you and His voice speaking to you in that soft manner that the Holy Spirit can, ask that you get perception back, that you hear the voice of the Lord. God wants to use us today. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank You so much for Your glory, Your goodness. God, I thank You for this example in Your Word, God, that You gave us. Father, that there is something that You want to do with each and every one of us. We want to be open to that. Father, help lead and guide our spirit man as we hear You, Father. We hear so many voices this day. There's so much confusion surrounding us right now. Lord, we want to hear You clearly and with great clarity. Father, touch those who are lost, those that we're thinking about, people that we pass by every day and see in a disoriented way or in need that we don't even think about anymore. We just pass them every day. Could it be that tomorrow, could it be today that we pass those same people and You use us to change their lives? Father, we thank You for changing our life. We thank You for causing us to be born again by Your Spirit. Father, we want to affect as many people as we can before You take us home. Help us, Lord. I pray that each and every one would be led by Your Spirit. Lead me by Your Spirit, Father, as I continue to follow You. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you.